Our next presentation is the evaluation of alternate wetting and drying irrigation practices for Mid-South rice production, and Richard Atwell will be presenting.
Thank you, Dr. Rowland, for that introduction. As she said, my name is Richard Atwell. I'm based out of Stoneville, Mississippi, with Mississippi State University at the Delta Research and Extension Center, and under the instruction of Dr. Jason Kreutz. And we do irrigation not only for rice, but corn, cotton, rice, soybeans, and peanuts. So my specific project deals with rice irrigation. And we're going to address some of the issues and problems we have and some of the concerns that our growers and regulatory entities have as well. So in the past 30 years, there's been a documented decline in the water levels of the Mississippi Valley Alluvial Aquifer, which is the low-lying aquifer that we use for surface irrigation, rainwater irrigation, and flood rice irrigation. In the last several years, we've moved towards a more regulated water use practices. A metering program has been put in place for Mississippi in particular. And this is currently the only state in the Mid-South that has a permitted value that we're allowed to pump on our row crops. That value for rice in Mississippi is 370 hectare millimeters of water. So the main issue with our area and Arkansas Delta and the Bootheel, Missouri, is that the low-lying aquifer that's under our feet, we take advantage of it a lot, and we use a lot of it during the irrigation season. We've got some severe cones of depression that are modeled to be in a really bad state in the next couple of years. So the objective is to mitigate this in a kind of holistic way with all of our crops. But for rice, we're the main user of water per acre of any crop in the Mississippi Delta. And to give you just a quick depiction on our water use, so we've got basically four different production systems in Mississippi. We've got a contour levee system where the field is not precision leveled, and so levees are contoured, and our water use for those production systems are well above our permitted value, about 450 hectare millimeters. We have straight levee system, which is a precision level system. This is where the majority of our acres in Mississippi our rice is grown due to the ease of swapping to a corn or soybean rotation with rice. So that being said, it's still over our permitted value of 390 hectare millimeters in Mississippi. And so that poses a pretty big issue for us because this is where most of our hectareage is in this production system. So several years back, a multiple site inlet program was introduced. And essentially what it is using lay-flat polyethylene tubing or polypipe to distribute the water to the paddies within a field individually. So about 20% of our growers are using this production system, and then like the gold standard, zero grade. So it's the lowest water use, right around 200 hectare millimeters. But once again, for a soybean rotation, this is not ideal to rotate back and forth soybeans due to the reduction in yield with soybeans on a zero grade. So we know what the gold standard is, and we know the kind of what we have to meet to reduce our water usage. And so with the side inlet, multiple side inlet straight levee system, how can we maximize that system to reduce our water yield while maintaining on-farm profitability and yield and still be able to address the issues of our growers. And so when we started investigating some of these issues, these are the five main issues that our growers had. And so our group, we're extension and research appointments, and so we get to interact directly with the growers. And, you know, the kind of underlying questions they had, one, disease pressure, what kind of blast pressure am I going to have with the alternate wetting and drying system. And I'll explain the alternate wetting and drying in just a second. Cultivar selection, that kind of ties in with disease pressure. Weed control, so we're taught that we have a continuous flood in rice to manage weeds, so that kind of goes against the conventional thinking of what we've been taught. Nutrients and fertility, how do we manage our nutrients, how do we manage our nitrogen, and then at the end of the day, yield cost or benefit. So our objectives were to establish a safe alternate wetting and drying water level threshold so that we don't reduce the yield potential and we maintain or we reduce the water use and maintain yield potential. So that's the main objective. And then some secondary objectives to kind of build the production system at the same time is to determine the weed management aspect in both the clear field and a conventional weed program. And finally, take this data that we've learned and take it on farm to our growers and actually evaluate what this looks like on a field sale. We hypothesize that the alternate wetting and drying will reduce the irrigation water use and maintain rice grain yield. So three main experiments were conducted, and I'm going to fly through these. So we have a water level threshold experiment where we're actually seeing how far we can drive that crop down and how far we can put stress on it. So our experiment was set up in a split plot design with the main plot as water level. So we have a continuous flood. We have an alternate wetting and drying treatment. So the alternate wetting and drying is essentially letting the water level within a paddy drop or reside to a lower level than keeping it continuously flooded all year round. So or during the growing season. So how far can we let this water down before we initiate an irrigation? So we have a soil surface treatment where we're allowing the water to pond on the soil surface before we initiate irrigation, 10 centimeters below the soil surface, 20, 30, and 40 centimeters below the soil surface before we initiate an irrigation. And for the threshold experiment, we tested three cultivars. We had Rex, XL753, which is Rostec Hybrid, and Clearfield 151. We set this up in a field. It's about a 16-acre field, and there's six levels of water treatment and four replications. So set up as a split plot, and we monitor irrigation amounts with a flow meter for each of the reps. And on the left here is just a picture of the small plots, how they're separated by the levees. But on the right is the main, the key to this system, and it's super low cost. Very easy to use, and it's very effective. So all it is a 6-inch piece of PVC pipe. We have holes drilled in the side. We excavate a hole. We drop this pipe in the ground. We can see the water level below the soil surface. So we used this really basic, simple methodology in initiating irrigations to develop kind of this curve. We also looked at two different herbicide programs, a clear field and a conventional herbicide program. Because these are our main herbicide programs we use. We've got some new technologies coming on soon. And I'm not going to go through all the treatments, but these plots were overseeded with barnyard grass and were evaluated in an AWD environment as compared to a continuous flood. So this is just a depiction of what the actual trial looks like within the field. So the very top row is the first rep, second rep, third rep, and fourth rep as we go down the page. And the water is distributed to each paddy individually via polypipe. And the plots are within each one of those paddies, and those paddies are separated by levees and a 30-meter buffer zone that's planted in rice to try to mitigate any horizontal movement of irrigation water. Moving into the clear field and conventional weed control, I'm not going to go through all the data due to time constraints. This is just a quick depiction of the kind of barnyard grass control we can see in rice in Mississippi. So it's a huge issue, and this is actually taking in our alternate wetting and drying plots. So we do have very good control of our weeds, even in an alternate wetting and drying environment, and the data reflects that pretty clearly. There's no interaction or no water level treatment that was significant. So our herbicide programs will still work in our continuous AWD environment. Moving into some of the yield data, this is just a depiction of the two polar opposite years that we've had this year. In 2015, we had the flagship year for irrigation research, where this is in days after planting and on the x-axis, and accumulated rainfall in hectare millimeters on the y-axis. And in 2015, which is the dotted line, we essentially had no rainfall for about 13 weeks, and this is when the crop water use was the highest, from about 30 to 40 days onto flowering. While in 2016, we got rain essentially every week from that same crop physiological standpoint. So I'm going to run through the yield real quick. So the Rostec hybrid out-yielded the conventional lines, and this is this trend is pretty evident in other trials as well, but where it comes into importance for us is that the Rostec hybrid does have pretty good disease resistance, and so that's kind of our insurance policy for moving into an alternate wetting and drying environment. Real quick, just to show you a depiction of what these plots look like, a continuous flood, a ponding on the soil surface. When we start getting down into four inches below or 10 centimeters below, we've got some muddy soil surface. When we start going below that, we start getting some cracking on top. Driving it 30 centimeters down, the soil is really dry on top, and then at 40 centimeters below, that crack's about 8 or 9 inches deep. So just goes to show that we can still be able to maintain our yield as we take this threshold level down. But we call it our optimized AWD right now is taking it 10 centimeters below, because we, on a wet year or a dry year, this is 2015 data, we had a dry year. 2016 data, again, no yield loss at the 4 inches below. And so our water use was reduced in 2015 using the 10 centimeter treatment, as well as in 2016. However, we did have a year interaction, we used a lot less water in 2016 due to the amount of rainfall that we had. And then at the end of the day, water use efficiency. So our 10 centimeter treatment increased water use efficiency over the continuous flood, and so that's our recommendation at this time. And I won't have time to go through it, but really we took this on farm to our growers, and at the end of the day, we're maintaining yield potential and increasing over our overall farm profitability by about $200 per hectare. And so in conclusion, our AWD system that we're building for our growers has a really good potential. It's already going through the process of being going through the insurance policies, and it's already on the list of NRCS accepted practices. So with that, I'd like to thank my major professor, my committee members, my irrigation group, and especially the Mississippi Rice Promotion Board, and I know I probably don't have time for many questions. Question? Sure. So the question was, have we considered canopy temperature treatments? And so this year, actually, in 2016, we had I don't even know what you call them, the guys with the drone came and they flew with the MicaSense and several other sensors. However, this year we got so much rain that we didn't ever see that breakout. Next year, the only thing we can hope for as an irrigation research team is to hope for that drought stress so we can actually drive the crop. We don't want to tell our growers that, but that's what we hope for. So, yeah, that's a really good question. Those guys are really good at what they do, and it's a really robust data set we'd hope to capture next year. Thanks.